Now I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, I shall begin reading at verse 13 for our scripture reading as a background to our message today. Inasmuch as the emphasis is being put on the church, on seeing and telling people about the church during the month of April, after much prayer and consideration, I feel very definitely led of the Lord to bring to you a series of messages during the month of April on Sunday morning about the church. So our messages through the month of April will be concerning the church, that is on Sunday morning. I hope that you'll resolve not to miss one single message because they will be a continuous thought. For example, this morning we are going to talk about the foundation of the church. Our last message on the 30th or 29th, the last Sunday of the month, will be on the future of the church. So you can see from beginning to end, five messages, progressive messages, on the church. And I hope that you'll be in your place every Lord's Day, not only in the morning, but the series of messages on the great chapters in the evening. And somehow I do believe if you love the Lord and love the gospel and love the church where you serve and worship, that you'll want to be back for the evening worship service. Support the ministry of your church and support your pastor. Above all, support the gospel that is preached on Sunday evening. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, after we bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for the church of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the arm of the church that reaches around the world. We thank Thee for its foundation. We thank Thee for the head of the church, even the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for the working agency of our church. We thank Thee for the glorious future that we have as a redeemed body. We pray this morning as we lay the groundwork for this series of messages, as we shall try to show how Christ is our foundation, may our hearts and minds be quickened as we set our affections upon Him. And may the Holy Spirit bring into the church today those who need to make decisions of their church relationship, as we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake, with thanksgiving. Amen. Of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Anointed, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed or happy Hilarious, art thou Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against." Many people have come into the world, have lived their lives, and passed off the stage of action, only to be forgotten, though they were remembered in their lifetime, only to be forgotten once they had died and passed off the stage of action. Almost every student of history knows something of the great Caesars, or what shall I say of Alexander the Great, who by age 33 had conquered the then known world. or Napoleon? Or what shall I say of the fathers of our country, Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and others? These are men who held great influence, not only in their countries, but in the world at large. But all of these have long since died, except shoved away somewhere in a history book. Their writings, their doings, their actions, their deeds, all but forgotten. But Jesus Christ, the central theme of God's Word, the most unique character in all history, is yet remembered in the 20th century. He cannot be forgotten. He can be rejected. He can be despised. He can be ridiculed. He can be thrown out, so to speak, for a season. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cannot be forgotten. Once you have been brought face to face with the Christ of God, you will never be the same. Your life will never be the same. Jesus Christ never wrote a book, and yet more books are written about him than about any other living or dead creature. Jesus Christ never sang probably a song as we know songs today. He certainly never composed a song, and yet more songs have been composed about him than any other person. He was born in an out-of-the-way, obscure village called Bethlehem of Judea. He grew up in Nazareth, a despised city. He never traveled perhaps more than 150 or at best 200 miles from his birthplace. Jesus Christ never spoke on the radio. He never appeared on television. And yet his name will be preached today over more radio stations and television outlets around the world than any other person who has ever lived in our world. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. There's a play on the Greek words in this most beautiful scene and very arresting scene in the life of Jesus. When he asked the question, "Whom do men say that I am?" he wasn't surprised. But those about him might have been surprised when they answered, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some say that thou art Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." But then Jesus brought it right down to where they lived and directly put the question to them. "But whom do ye say that I am?" It's easy for us to read the answer of the Apostle Peter or the other disciples. But what about your answer this morning? In your life, in your business, in your home, in your daily activity, in your very heart, in your mind, in your thinking, who is Christ? Is he just another figure that came on the scene almost 2,000 years ago, made his mark on history, and has passed off? Is he just that to you? Or is he, in the words of Peter, to you the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, the Son of the living God? We know him this morning in a personal experience as our Savior. We know, according to Peter's testimony, that he is the Christ of God. We know it from our personal experience. The play on the Greek words, Jesus said, "Thou art Peter." The Greek is Petros, which means a stone. "And upon this rock," and he used another Greek word, Petra, which means literally a huge stone. "Thou art Petros. Upon this Petra, huge stone, I will build my church." No building is any stronger than its foundation. Jesus said to his disciples, Jesus said to the world, Jesus says to us, "I am the foundation of the church." Paul put it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, even Jesus Christ. This Christ of ours, the Christ of God, becoming the foundation and the chief cornerstone of the church, makes the church of Jesus Christ the strongest, most durable organism in the world today. I sometimes get amused at some people who wring their hands in anxiety and wonder when the communist or some other group of political power, whether it be a religious power or a political power, is going to take over the church. Well, I'm going to say to you this morning, without hesitation and without apology and without reservation, neither communism or any other ism will ever take over the church. The only taking of the church is when Jesus Christ comes to take it unto himself and to present it before the Father spotless, without blemish, without wrinkle. Oh, I know that these are going to make their inroads against the truth and against the church. But Jesus said the gates or the authorities or the powers of Hades, of hell, shall not win the victory over the church. That's because he is the foundation. Upon this stone, upon this rock, which speaks of strength, it speaks of solidarity, it speaks of steadfastness, it speaks of endurance. Time has gnawed itself upon all institutions and all organizations of world history, but the Church of Jesus Christ still stands. What about this foundation? What about this huge stone? Well, I want to call to your attention this morning in my foundation message on the church, first of all, that this stone, upon this rock, upon this stone, I will build my church. This stone is a sustaining stone. This church, this stone, sustains in the 20th century like it did in the first century. Look yonder, if you please, at Israel in the barren wilderness without water, Exodus chapter 17. If the person next to you goes to sleep, will you please nudge them for me? Out there in Israel's history, the barren land of the wilderness, they were without water. And God said to Moses, "Take your rod, Moses, and strike the rock." And Moses did, and water came forth that sustained a great nation of people. Look yonder, if you will, at my text again. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus said, in so many words, I will sustain the church. The rock that was smitten in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 17 becomes a type and a symbol of the rock of our salvation. Jesus Christ, who was smitten upon the cross, Jesus stood in the temple on that great feast day and said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation, the foundation of our church, sustains us this morning. He holds us together. He unites us. He supports us. He strengthens us. He gives us the wherewith to live every day. In our hour of sorrow, he sustains us by his comforting power. In our hour of suffering, he sustains us as the great physician. In the hour of our hunger and want, he sustains us as the bread of life. In our hour of spiritual thirst, he sustains us as the water of life. In the hour of discouragement and despondency and despair, Jesus Christ, our foundation, the rock of our salvation, sustains us, the stone of our hope, the stone of our happiness, the stone of our eternal and blessed hope, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Out yonder in the wilderness, the tree says to the traveler, "Come to me for shade." The babbling brook says to the thirsty man, "Come to me for drink." The bed says to the weary, tired body, "Come to me for rest." The table that is set before us to hungry bodies says to us, "Come to me and eat." Jesus Christ, the foundation of the church, says, "Come to me for every need. Come to me for everything. In sickness, come to me for health. In darkness, come to me for light. In hunger, come to me for bread. In thirst, come to me for water. And in the hour of death, come to me for a companion that will go with you across the chilly waters of death. For Jesus said, 'I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but I'll go with thee all the way, even to the end of the age.'" This is our sustaining stone. This is the foundation of our church. Any great wonder then that the poet took pen in hand to write, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly rely on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." What a foundation is ours today. Stronger than the rock of Gibraltar is our foundation. Stronger than the giant Titanic of the sea is our ark of safety. Stronger and more durable than time is the sustaining stone of our foundation. Not only is he a sustaining stone, but Jesus Christ is a stumbling stone. Listen to the words of Peter in his first epistle, chapter 2. "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture." Here he quotes Isaiah 28. "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe," listen to this now, "unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. And," verse 8 says, "a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient." The sustaining stone is also a stumbling stone. This stumbling stone was rejected by the builders, Peter said. And who are the builders? We look upon the builders as the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the early days of Jesus' lifetime, and they were. You know what they did? And Peter uses the symbolism of a building. In the days of the Apostle Peter, almost all buildings were built of stone. The great temple was built of stone. And when the builders would select their stone, if a stone had a flaw or a blemish in it, you know what they did to it? They simply disallowed it. They rejected it. They set it aside. Now, in the framework of the building of Christianity, the Jews, the builders, rejected the stone, Christ. They set him aside. They led him away to be crucified. They disallowed him. They rejected him. You know what God did with him? God took the same stone, elect stone, precious stone, that the builders rejected and made of that stone the chief cornerstone. And you know what the chief cornerstone does? Now, we think about a cornerstone as a little plate out it that's the last thing added to the building. But that's not what Peter's talking about at all. In the corner of the building, where the weight was placed of the two walls, in every corner was placed a cornerstone. Jesus Christ is in every corner of the church. He is the chief cornerstone. But yet, to those who despise and reject and refuse him, what does he become? Peter says he becomes a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Every man who refuses to accept Christ stumbles over Christ into hell. Some of you are building your life this morning, and you have rejected the chief cornerstone. And the chief cornerstone has become to you a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Hear me when I say that Jesus never leaves a man like he finds him. Did you get that? Jesus Christ never leaves a man like he finds him. That man is either drawn by the magnetic power of the Holy Ghost to the Lord Jesus, or that man is driven away by his own lust, by his own rejection, by his own stubborn will. But he never remains the same once he has been confronted with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has become, if I may put it this way, your stepping stone to heaven. And let me clarify myself. I'm not saying that as if to say there are other stepping stones to heaven. Jesus said, if any man come in any other way, he's the same as a thief and a robber. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto God but by me. So you will make this sustaining stone, the rock of our salvation, the foundation of the church. Hear me when I say he has become your stepping stone to heaven or your stumbling stone on the way to hell. It is a shame. It is a disgrace. It is a pity that any man would stumble over the cross and fling himself into a devil's hell. Look how high the cross is. The cross of Jesus Christ is as high as man's experience. The cross of Jesus Christ and his love expressed from that cross is as deep and wide as man's sin could ever be. But to many he has become a stumbling stone along the way. You see, Christ is life for those who believe, who receive him. But by the same token, he is death to those who reject him. Did you know that the unsaved man, the man who persists in his sin, hear me through now, please hear me carefully. The man who persists in his sin and finally and ultimately rejects the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior would have been a whole lot better off if Jesus Christ had never come to Calvary's cross. Do you understand that statement? I say that because he is a savior of life unto those that believe. He's a savior of death to those that don't believe. The unsaved man, I must repeat, who lives out his life ultimately and finally rejecting Christ, would have been a whole lot better off if Jesus Christ had never come to earth. Because every man either comes to him in salvation or every man will come to him in the hour of judgment. He connects men with God or he separates men from God. He's the dividing line. That sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? He brings men to God or he separates men from God. But that's the scripture. That's the truth. Paul put it this way. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto all who believe, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let me ask you, is he your stepping stone? Is he your stumbling stone? He's one or the other. You can't ignore him. You cannot avoid him. You cannot leave him neutrally. You must be on his side or against him. This stumbling stone is not only a stone of offense and a stone of sustaining life, but this rock of our salvation, this foundation of our church, is likewise a smiting stone. God will finish and carry through to its ultimate end the program of redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. Many attempts, many efforts have been made to stop. They tried to kill the seed that would produce Christ. Herod tried to kill him when he was just a baby. They hanged him upon a cross and slew him in open shame, but he lives this morning. I wonder where all of our resurrection friends are from last Sunday. Our Easter friend. Every Lord's Day is resurrection. Christ is just as much alive this morning as he was last Sunday. I hope that you read the little article there in the bulletin. Many members of Worth Baptist Church will put Christ back into a grave and leave him unattended till next Easter. Yes, they will. Oh, they're not going to come up to you and say, you know, let's go back and bury Jesus, but by their very actions, they're going to bury him again. Many attempts have been put forth to thwart the program and purpose of God. But I am here to tell you this morning that he who hath begun a good work in you is able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is not finished in the world in 1967. God is not through with the human race. God is not through. He who was crucified will become crowned. He who was smitten will smite. Isaiah said, surely you have borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Outside the ancient walls of the city of Jerusalem, the Son of God was smitten. The stone was smitten. Who smote him? Oh, the Romans smote him, the Jews smote him, but something else smote him that day. The cowardice of his disciples smote him that day. The sins of the world smote him that day. But look at him crowned. One day he shall rule. He shall rule with a rod of iron. He shall smite, he shall destroy. Get the picture from Daniel 2, will you please? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. I don't have time for the details. But he didn't know what his dream was, but they called out this man Daniel, in whom was the Spirit of God. Daniel said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, this is your dream. You dreamed that you saw a great image. His head was of gold. His arms were of silver. His thigh was of brass. His legs were of iron, and his feet were of iron and clay. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold, the Babylonian Empire. After you shall come a lesser and inferior kingdom, the arms and a breast of silver, the Medo-Persian Empire. And after that will come even a lesser, the Grecian Empire, the brass. And after that, the Roman Empire of iron. And that last empire shall be divided into many kingdoms. The last great world empire was the Roman Empire. There has never been a world empire since then. And Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar, you saw something. You saw a stone come down out of the mountain, didn't you? And that stone that was not made with hands, that rolled down the mountain, smashed that great image that you saw. The head of gold, the arms of silver, the thighs of brass, the legs of iron, and that little stone that you saw smote that great image until it became like dust and was blown away like the chaff of the wind. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, hear me when I say this. Daniel said, in those days of those kingdoms, God will raise him up a king. And his kingdom shall cover the earth. And that little stone, O Nebuchadnezzar, is the Messiah, the Christ of God. And he shall smash all the last and final wrap-up of Gentile powers. God said, I shall gather all nations of the armies of the earth against Jerusalem in that day. But a little old stone that'll come down out of the mountain will crush that great image of Gentile power. And John says the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord, and a sword shall go out of his mouth by which he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule the earth with a rod of iron. Let the God-haters and the Christ-rejecters and the potentates of earth, let them shake an angry fist in the face of God. But the last chapter has not been written yet. A little stone is Jesus Christ, and his kingdom will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Such a stone is our foundation. Sustaining stone, stumbling stone, smiting stone. Finally, a saving stone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This stone that I'm talking to you about this morning is a rock of salvation. Anytime, anywhere, under any circumstance, you can call upon the name of God and be saved. You can pray the sinner's prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. The scripture says only believe, and the work is done. What about your foundation? What kind of foundation has your life? Jesus said, a foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the storm came, and the rains came, and the winds, and blew it down. Then Jesus said, a wise man built his house upon a rock, and the winds came, and the waters fell, and the storms arose. But the house that was built upon the rock stood. You build your life on ideologies and principles of politics and government and education and all of these which are good in their place. But you best build your eternal home upon the rock of our salvation, whose blood can change the leper spot and make you whiter than snow. A group of missionaries from America went into an African village where no white man had ever been. They stood on a hill and looked down in that village, wondering what their reception was going to be, where no white man had ever put foot. They walked down the hill and into the valley, and the multitudes of those Africans in the deepest, darkest Africa came out to greet them. Only one of them could speak the dialect of that African village. And in their own dialect, he greeted them and spoke to them. Many of them had come out to see these strange white-looking creatures. And after he had finished his little greeting, one of the little natives, a little boy, came and took him by the hand and just held it and patted it and squeezed it in his own hand. And he looked up into the missionary's face. He said, Mister, please tell me, what is the name of the river where you washed and got so white? And that missionary said, little boy, you and I have a different color skin, but our hearts are the same. Doesn't matter what we look out like on the outside, but what we look like on the inside. The same river is called the River of Calvary that washed me from my sin can wash you from yours. We sing victoriously. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. I wish I could tell the world about it this morning. This is the rock of our salvation. This is the rock of our hope. This is the foundation of our church. We have no other. Other foundation can no man lay. Say, mister, the name of the river is Calvary. It flows to wash you whiter than snow in 1967. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we do thank Thee for the sustaining stone, the stumbling stone that has become the chief corner, the smiting stone that shall one day smite the nations of earth and rule with a rod of iron. Oh, but we thank Thee that in His tenderness He is the saving stone. We thank Thee for the river that started at Calvary's brow and flows into 1967. And we know that that precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Speak to that man outside Christ this morning. Speak to those outside of fellowship. Speak to those outside the church. Bring them in on this first Sunday of April. And may this foundation message be used of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to hearts of men and women and boys and girls in this audience today. This is our prayer as we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake.